Good morning and welcome to this part of the service. I am very glad to see each one that's here this morning. It is always a treat to come together to worship. And my mind wandered a bit during worship, the singing. Very, very appropriate for my thoughts this week. One of my good friends' dad passed away this week in Montana, and I would love to be there for the funeral tomorrow, but I can't go. And the songs, Behold Our God, is real. And then followed by When I Get Home. I just shared with my friend in a conversation, and then after I received the word that he did pass, by the way, it was John Lapp. I don't know how many of you would know of John. Johnny, you might. His son Dave and I were very close 20 years ago, and so it does tug when people that we know, our friends' dads, move on. And I shared with Dave in a text later that one thing that does for us is to help us realize there is a better place. It creates a deep longing in our hearts that will never be fulfilled until we cross the river into heaven. And that is what we were designed for, that's what we're made for, is to go home with when I get home. What a blessing. I too want to welcome everyone, especially our visitors. Johnny and Elite, it's very good to have you here. I won't say how many years ago it was. It's been a while that I worked with Johnny and Elita at Mountain View Nursing Home. Johnny was one of our good nurses that we had, and he, along with several other men, are what I consider mentors in those years that I spent there. And it's always so good to see them. He's now entering the stage of life that I refer to as he's becoming a sage. And he's a man that I look up to. And so it is an honor to have you here today. Welcome. And for the other visitors as well, I'm glad you chose to worship with us this morning. I have decided to speak on the subject of spirit fruit. I was thinking about this for some time, and I want to share. Naturally, our minds go to the verses in Galatians where it lists the spirit fruit. In thinking over this, I just felt like the message, it's going to be more than one message. And it needs introduction. We need to explore some things before we get into the fruit itself. I'll talk about fruit a bit as I start, but then I would like to spend most of the message today talking about the Holy Spirit and what it does in our lives. What part of it of our lives, or how much of our lives, revolves around the Holy Spirit in our lives? And I was blessed by the devotional where Glenn brought out the point that we are on one side or the other. There's no middle ground. Either you have the Holy Spirit and you're a Christian, or you don't. And thank you for that, Glenn. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. I would like to read the verses 22 and 23. It's just simply the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And before we go too far, I will say that I am reading the book Spirit Fruit by John M. Drescher. I think that's a familiar book with many of you. I'm just reading it again to kind of refresh my thoughts, and so there will be thoughts, naturally, that come from his book, and I want to acknowledge that input in the message that I have. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And we think of fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. What a pleasant list of fruit or expressions from people. If we're around people with these expressions, we can't help but be attracted to people like this. Fruit, what is fruit? Fruit is most likely, when we think of fruit, we often think of a sweet, fleshy product of a tree that we like to eat. Fruit is good. Fruit is delicious. We have a lot of different fruit, and we enjoy lots of fruit. Is God something God created for food, and it is intended to be enjoyed. Fruit is produced. It grows through different stages and matures. It takes lots of time for fruit to grow. Fruit needs sunshine. It needs nutrients and water. It often starts with a delicate flower, a blossom, and a bud. There's a promise of life. Fruit is a result of new life in the spring. It is also a result of pruning and cultivation. Fruit quietly develops and grows to maturity. It needs to be exposed to the sometimes harsh elements. It needs sunshine and heat and lots of time. I don't think we can help but draw parallels to our Christian lives as well. It takes time. We start out as a small bud. We develop, we grow. And after a while, we look at someone that's older, and it's just like fruit. It's just a blessing to see a person follow Christ and develop and grow into something that is pleasant. It is important to point out that there are other, quote, fruit produced in people's lives, but they are most commonly referred to as works of the flesh. Let's back up several verses in Galatians here and read the list of the works of the flesh. I didn't want to start in on a negative note, so I read the fruits first. But I'm going to back up to verse 16 in Galatians 5, and I'm going to read this in the New King James. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We have two sides here. We have this list, and we have the fruit of the Spirit. There is no middle ground. Either you, by default, are producing works of the flesh, or we as Christians have the Holy Spirit in us, and we will produce the fruit of the Spirit. That list I read at the start. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Can you see the difference there? It is miles apart. If there was a conversion experience in a person's life, we expect fruit. If there is little or no evidence of fruit, we rightfully question if he is truly born again. It takes an act of God, conversion, for the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, and subsequently, we will start bearing fruit. Back to the false fruits or the works of the flesh. How do we identify those? Sometimes people will come across as having it together. They tend to say, I've got a word from God, but it doesn't line up with Scripture. What should be our response to that? Those can be difficult questions sometimes. How do we identify false fruits? Or perhaps we aren't sure of the presence of the fruit in some people's lives. My thoughts went back to John chapter 1, verse 1. We studied that in Sunday school several weeks ago. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Just bringing out the fact that the Word of God was with God. It is God. It is God inspired. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it is not truth. It is a lie. Are we wide-spreading, heavily laden with fruit, or are we scrubby little bushes that can barely produce green leaves, much less any fruit? We should welcome the pruning of the Holy Spirit in our lives if we want to produce fruit. And when I think of pruning, I often, in the area where I grew up, we had several orchards, and in the spring you would invariably, if you drive by there, and you would see a big pile of brush, maybe off to the end. It was all things they cut off. Cutting and pruning can hurt our lives. We feel like we can't take it. I can't give that up. It gets cut off, burned. It's trash. But did you know that they refer to some of those branches as suckers that just pull the life out of the plant and prevent it from producing fruit? A good pruner knows how much to leave and where to leave it for the maximal fruit production. Maximize it. Is that a word? I'm not sure. And so, in order for that to happen, there needs to be some cutting. There needs to be hard times. He cuts that branch off. The sap may run for a day or two. It's an open wound, if you will. But in the fall, those what's left over is just loaded with apples and whatever, what have you. We might also need the soil tilled and fertilized. In other words, we might need to change our intake. Let's send our roots deep into the rich Word of God. Speaking of vines and trees and branches, I couldn't help but go to John chapter 15. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus, the master vine, the master tree, and we are branches grafted into this tree. I'm going to turn to John 15, if you will. I'm going to read some verses there, starting in verse 1 through verse 11. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See the connection between the branches and the vine? It's imperative. You cannot have fruit without being connected to our master vine, Jesus Christ. And that connection that he has given us is the presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's why I like to hammer on a bit today is the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. What it does for a Christian. You can't have it without the Holy Spirit in your lives. It's impossible. The fruit of the Spirit pictures for us the person of Christ and the pattern for the Christian life. Christians were called to be Christians because they were like Christ. Our lives and our fruit need to remind people of Jesus. Being like Jesus becomes the supreme miracle of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't think like we can emphasize enough the work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's lives, in a Christian's life. There are three ways here that I wrote down that the Holy Spirit ministers to us. Number one, he makes Christ real to us. Think of a telescope, if you will, or a binoculars. We use them to look at something way out there. And I can appreciate a fine piece of optics. I look at it and, wow, this is great. But don't we use it more or less to see what we want to see way out there? Think of the Holy Spirit as our telescope to connect us. Let us see God, see Jesus. The Holy Spirit creates that connection, makes it visible and makes it clear, if you will. Without that, it doesn't work so well. The Holy Spirit is responsible for every stage of our Christian lives. He convicts us while we still lived in sin. He makes God, the quote, God with us. The Holy Spirit enables the relationship with God. Number two, he transforms us, the Holy Spirit. Another purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reproduce the character of Christ in us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 through 19, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, and the length, and the depth, and height, and to know the love of God, which passeth our knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It goes along with the first point I made as well, of makes Christ real to us, he transforms us. The Holy Spirit who brought us to faith also gives us victory in our battle against evil. Have you ever noticed the difference between the convicting of the Holy Spirit and the condemnation of the devil? We tend to feel guilt sometimes. The Holy Spirit reveals our sin and unworthiness, but always shows us Christ's cleansing blood and what Christ did for us. Satan shows us only discouragement, defeat, and death. That's the difference between the two. Yes, we may feel guilt because of the Holy Spirit, but we are also drawn to Jesus and what he offers us. The devil? Not so much. Never. We are discouraged. We live in defeat, ultimately death. Number three, the Holy Spirit also equips us for Christ's service in the world. He gives us the needed spiritual gifts to make his mission complete. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul points out the different spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives each person a gift individually as he wills. The gifts will and are different, or will be different and are different. But the spirit fruit that I'm referring to here is not the same as the spiritual gifts. The fruit is what I mentioned early on. The gifts we refer to as different gifts in the church. Some of you are good at teaching. Some of you are prayer warriors. Some of you are... The list goes on and on and on. But you will all produce fruit. The fruit is a common result of the gifts working together. They complement each other well. But there is difference in spiritual gifts and the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit shows great unity. While the list of the fruit is 9, you will not find one without the other. The fruit is singular, but usually contains all of those graces. The fruit is best demonstrated and put to the test in relation to other people. The fruit cannot be practiced between you and God. It takes other people to produce this fruit in our lives. We need each other, church. We need each other. These fruits are produced in working with each other. What differences do you suppose we could see in our homes and churches if love, joy, peace, patience, and all the rest of the fruits were present? What about the difference in our work, in our world in general? If the spirit fruit was evident, wow, I think we all know what the answer to that would be. I hope this message today causes you to think of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I look forward to sharing more messages on the specific fruits that are mentioned there. I'm not exactly sure how to divide that up. The one schedule, or if you will, that I saw, the breakdown had three in each group. That may be something I follow. I know there was more than I could do in one message. So the purpose of today was kind of a primer, if you will. And I shared with the fellow pastors this morning, I feel like what I have on the Holy Spirit is so, so inadequate. But I think part of that is because the Holy Spirit is such a huge part of our lives, Christian lives. The New Testament is full of the Holy Spirit. The New Dispensation revolves around the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit instead of the law and the priests. We have it. Every one of us as Christians have the Holy Spirit. What a connection. What a beautiful, beautiful picture that God has for us. Connect us with God, the Holy Spirit in our lives. I have a poem here I wrote down. The author is Beatrice Cleland, and it's entitled Indwelt. And it is an old poem, obviously, by the way it's worded. But listen carefully. I think it's spot on for spirit fruit. Not merely by the words you say, not only in your deed confessed, but in the most unconscious way is Christ expressed. Is it a beautiful smile? A holy light upon your brow? Oh no, I felt his presence while you laughed just now. For me, 'twas not the truth you taught, to you so clear, to me still dim. But when you came to me, you brought a sense of him. And from your eyes he beckons me, and from your heart his love is shed, till I lose sight of you and see the Christ instead. And I think that is a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, what people will see. People often say, there's something different about you. I noticed something different. That's evidence of spirit fruit coming out of our lives. That is a natural response to the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's a good response. Let it show. Live it out. You never know who might need that and what that will do for people that you come in contact with. As I mentioned, my next message will obviously be on some of those fruits. I don't know how many, but I'm excited to dig into those and to share those with you as well. I trust you will be blessed, same as I am, in studying this. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you for your divine plan for our connection with you. I pray that we could produce fruit, good fruit to you and to others around us, that you can say, well done, faithful servant. Thank you for this time of worship that we had today. I pray a blessing on each one that was here. Could we take from here what you had for us today and to go through our week living life as you have called us to live? Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins, to make this all possible. We ask your blessing on us as we depart. Go with us and keep us safe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.